You know, sometimes we get all excited about God's answer and then he takes it away. Like, oh no, but he has something better. And so we can trust in him. Good morning. It's good to see each of you here. So we're talking about prayer and we're looking at the Lord's Prayer, the greatest prayer that Jesus gave as a model. And so if you want to grab a Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 6, that's where we're going to be reading and studying this morning. You know, as we've been here for, I guess, almost 3 weeks now, of course, we've had some great relationship building time with this company, IKEA. Some of that's in the store because when you go there, you stay a long time. And some of it's on your knees, like trying to put these things together, right? And so, whenever you go to visit IKEA, it's not just a quick in and out kind of thing, right? They've figured out that you're going to be there a long time and you have to go here and there and back around. And so it's really frustrating if you just need something at the very beginning. You first get in the store and you have it. What do you have to do? Go through the rest of the store, right? And what are they hoping? They're hoping you'll see something else that you really need. I need this. I didn't know it. No one told me, but now that I see it, I really need this, right? And you'll grab it and then they'll sell more to you. Now, there is something really cool about IKEA. I'm not sure why they did it, but I'm really glad they did this, okay? Go back to that moment where what you need from IKEA is at the beginning of the journey, right? And so you get that, and they have something to help you. Anybody know what it is? The shortcut! Yes! I love that IKEA built in shortcuts, right? So if you're really not thinking straight and you forget, oh, I need to go back, or if you're done and you want to get through, they made it easier for you. But the shortcut, right? You get what you need, shortcut across, get out of there before they sell you something else. We were planning a church in Colorado, thankfully God put as a part of our planning team a guy who had been a pastor for 30 plus years. He was retired and he came and he was part of the team, and man, just a great mentor and encouragement for me. And here's what his deal was: prayer. And he was telling me, look, prayer is the deal. And what was fun is before that, God was stirring in my heart the need for prayer and growing in prayer. And so I've been on this journey since that time. But he was one of the guys that was instructing me. And he said, look, I've been doing this a long time. And the answer is prayer. We've got to get on our faces before God because that's where the power is. When we pray, we see God do great things. And so for me, it was this lesson. You know, I can go through and take the years, take the journey, the IKEA long route, right? And eventually end up at the place that says, oh, it's about prayer, right? Or we can take the shortcut. And let's start praying now. Let's begin to pray now and don't wait for Sunday whenever, oh, it becomes obvious. Let's let it become obvious in our lives now and begin to see the fruit now. Not put it off till later, but let's grow in this area of prayer. And I trust, as we've been talking about this, that the Spirit is working in your heart and encouraging you and making you think more about how you can pray in new and stronger ways. But let's go back quickly and do a quick review of the things we've been talking about in the first couple of messages. So if you weren't here, you can at least see the idea. So the prayer, obviously, starts off with the two words, I love our Father. And so as we talked about our Father, we see that in this, we learn to pray with identity. So if you have your note page there in your bulletin, that's the first blank you can fill in. Some of you like to do that. You feel like you're accomplishing something. You're the achiever type. Great news for you. You can check the box. Write that word in there, and you're making progress, right? We're moving forward on this project. Project advancement. Good. All right, so you can pray with identity. We know that we are part of a bigger story. Our is plural. And then we say, Father, he has called us to be his children. And so we pray with identity as we come before him. We know who he has made us, allowed us to be. But then the next phrase, in heaven, hallowed be your name. From this, we learn to pray with awe. Because when we say the words in heaven, we realize, oh, this is not just, hey, Daddy, what's going on? Although he wants us to see him as close and intimate and loving. He is God in heaven. And so we have the both the small and the great together in this beginning of the prayer. And so we pray with awe. Hallowed be your name. Just as the angels worship you, we worship you. And we say, hallowed be your name, awesome God. Awesome God, we worship you. And so these first two phrases, we say, okay, I pray with identity, we pray with awe. And today we're going to look at the phrases, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we have, as we said, a greeting at the beginning, and then six petitions. The first petition was, hallowed be your name. Today we'll cover two more petitions, your kingdom come and your will be done. But as we move into this idea of your kingdom, Jesus said, your kingdom come. What is the kingdom that Jesus is praying about here? What is the kingdom of God? And I just want to give you a chance to respond. Maybe you can shout out your thoughts. What is the kingdom of God that Jesus is praying about? Heaven, where he rules. That's all we got. We got two. You see, the women's ministry earlier was talking about like how many Bible studies they have, and so it was just women that answer, right? Because we only have Bible studies for women. So good job, women. You know the answers to everything. We guys are like, I don't know. I just fly planes and run businesses. I made it. Just be happy I'm here today, right? No, what's the kingdom of God?
Righteousness,
the church.
Sharing the gospel.
We're not really sure, are we? There's not an easy answer. We have lots of great answers. Thank you for all great answers. I was talking to some friends about this the other day, and someone said this. Someone said, it's the old thing from a long time ago. The kingdom of God is the old. And someone else said, it's the future. It's what's coming later. I was like, okay, but yes, yeah. Which one is it, right? And we don't talk about this very much. There's a great book by a guy named Ladd. It's called The Kingdom of God, and I was reading this. A guy recommended, actually it came from this spiritual warfare journey that I was on, and so one of the books they recommended to read was this, Understanding the Kingdom of God. And so I was reading, and man, just brought the kingdom of God to light for me in a whole new way. And so just to help us to maybe take some steps toward understanding together what is the kingdom of God, I want us to review a little bit some of the sermons of the New Testament, okay? In fact, one of the first sermons we hear is from a preacher named John the Baptist, right? He went before Jesus, so he's on earth and he's preaching. Does anybody remember his sermon? It was pretty short and simple. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? He says, repent for the kingdom of heaven. It's close. Repent. Very cool. Very, very cool. That was in Matthew chapter 3, if you want to find that out. So there's John the Baptist, Matthew 3, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's another preacher that started preaching shortly after John. His name was Jesus. Does anybody remember Jesus' first sermon? It's in Matthew chapter 4, and it goes like this. Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Wait a second, Jesus. That's not your sermon. You stole that from John the Baptist. Oh, that's plagiarism. You can't do that, Jesus. Right? I mean, preachers, we like, if somebody preaches your sermon, you're like, oh, it must be good. If you don't have a sermon, you preach someone else's, and they find out, it's like, oh, so shameful, right? Preaching somebody else's stuff. But Jesus did it, so it must be okay. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What did Jesus teach his disciples to say whenever they go into the villages? Remember, he sent them out. What did he tell them they should say whenever they go preach? Anybody want to guess? Matthew chapter 10, he tells them, say this, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Whoa. Now, by the way, because that's kingdom of heaven, you're talking about the kingdom of God. Actually, they're one and the same. There's a story, actually, in Matthew 19 where Jesus uses those interchangeably. But to go back to one of the answers earlier, and on your sheet, there's another blank you can fill in. Basically, the kingdom of God is any place that God is king. It's not real complex. and you look at some area, is God the king of that? Then that's the kingdom of God. Okay? And so we're going to use that going forward. But here's the question we have as we think about the kingdom of God and Jesus praying the prayer, let your kingdom come. Okay? So it sounds like it's something that he wants to happen. It's a request. And then the sermon they were preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right? So Jesus is saying it's not here yet. It's going to be. So we know that Jesus himself being on earth wasn't the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. All right. So what is it then? And here's the question I have for you. Is the kingdom of God here now? Yes? Anyone willing to argue with them and say no? Nobody's brave enough? Okay. Is the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God here now? So here's the reality. When Jesus was preaching it, he said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means it had not arrived as he's thinking of it at that point. He tells us to pray, let your kingdom come. Okay, that's what he's saying and praying. So at that point, it had not yet arrived. It was coming soon. So there's something else about the kingdom of God that he's talking and preaching and teaching us to pray about. And so what is that? Well, let's look at history a little bit. Okay, so we know, and someone said, the kingdom of God is heaven. All right, and so we know that in the future, the kingdom of heaven is coming, right? In Revelation, it tells us for 1,000 years, Jesus will come to earth and set up his kingdom. And from what I can read, it's a literal reign. Jesus is the boss, the king, the ruler of the whole earth. It's going to be amazing. You won't need guns. You won't need any weapons. People are going to turn their spears and swords into plowshares. We don't need weapons because Jesus is reigning and the Prince of Peace is here, right? It's going to be amazing. But that's in the future. Jesus hasn't come yet visibly. So, but is it here now? And what do we know? Well, we also know that at one point, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God was on earth. So let me see if I can help by drawing a little bit, okay? And so a long time ago, there was on earth the presence of God, right? And so this was with Adam and Eve at the very creation. God came and he walked with them every day. And he would talk and kind of give them guidance. So his presence was here, right? His presence was on earth with people. So the presence of God was here, the kingdom of God. Earth was part of the kingdom of God, right? But something happened. You remember what happened? Somebody invaded. God had two trees in the garden, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he said, as soon as you eat of this tree, you will die. You will die. Satan comes in and he says, you know what? I'm going to see if I can mess up this kingdom of God. And sure enough, he did. And so we had what was next, what we call the kingdom of darkness. I'm not going to talk about his name any more than I have to, so I'll just say darkness, right? The kingdom of darkness. And so what happened was Satan came and he tempted Adam and Eve. And he said, God doesn't love you. He's not for you. He's against you. In fact, he's trying to keep you from the good stuff. If you'll do what I say, if you'll eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then you'll be smart. Then you'll have everything you're missing. You can be like God. He tempted them. They believed him. So the presence of God was taken away from earth, and we were ushered into the kingdom of darkness, where God's presence was not everywhere. And now Satan, with sin and death, reigns. Sin comes in, separates us from God, and now death is in place. Spiritual death and physical death, but mainly spiritual death. Spiritual death is the main thing, okay? Now, we know that in the future, there will be another kingdom. And this is what we talked about. The kingdom of God again. The kingdom of heaven, where Jesus is the king. Right, so Jesus is king, he's reigning in the future. So where are we? We're still here. We're still under this time. However, Jesus was saying, John the Baptist was saying, his disciples were saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that was back in this time. So is the kingdom here now? And the answer is yes. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he was the perfect sacrifice, right? He was the perfect sacrifice, and he, by his blood, erased the power of sin. Satan no longer has that authority over us because Jesus took it on himself. So sin is gone. His power of sin broken. And then, on the third day, what did Jesus do? He came back to life. So now, Satan's power of death is broken. So the authority that Satan had over the earth has been broken by Jesus. The kingdom of heaven that's coming full force and visibly and obviously in the future is sneaking in now invisibly. The kingdom of heaven began. And it started with Jesus, right? So Jesus was the first one. But then he had 120 disciples. And so pretty quickly, they trusted him. And so the kingdom is growing, right? And then on the Pentecost, 3,000 people in one day trusted Jesus. And so the kingdom of heaven is coming in to the kingdom of darkness. And then a few days later, 5,000 more people. And today there are millions of people. And so the kingdom of heaven that is in the future is invading the current kingdom of darkness. And so if you are a believer, you're a part of the rebellion. Isn't it fun to be part of the rebellion? Yeah, right? Unless you die. But anyway, no. Seriously, in Star Wars, right? Who are the heroes? There's this evil empire, right? And then all the good guys are the part of the rebellion, and they go in. And so we're part of the rebellion. The current authority has been broken. And so now we're rising up. We're coming in, and we're taking control slowly, one person at a time. The visible kingdom is coming. We believe that. But the invisible kingdom is coming now. His power, his spirit, his love is flowing through us into this world. You see, here's what happened. The original kingdom had a rebellion. But we're the rebellion to the rebellion. We're rebelling against the rebels. We're saying, Satan, know what? We're saying no to your lies. So just very, very quickly, if you've not yet trusted Jesus, you're believing a lie, okay? You're believing a lie. And the truth is God loves you. And he's calling you to life. And it's going to be obvious one day. Today it's not obvious. It's not obvious. But you can be part of the rebellion, the life rebellion, the love rebellion. No longer sin and death. No longer darkness, but light. So the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is coming. And that's what Jesus is praying for. He's like, let it grow. Let more and more people begin to spread the good news of life and love and forgiveness, to turn against the one who has deceived us, the kingdom of heaven. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. So how does this actually play out in our lives? How does it happen? The kingdom of God, actually, I've just got three simple ways that I believe it comes. One, the big, obvious one, is when Jesus returns and begins his earthly reign, and it's visible and physical, and everybody can see it, okay? That's one way the kingdom of God comes. And we should pray, come quickly, Lord, right? Please, let it be today, right? We're tired of watching all this mess. Come on, bring your peace, bring your life. But another way the kingdom of God comes is when a lost person, a person who's believed the lies, says yes to Jesus. And the rebellion grows, right? The kingdom of God comes a little bit more into earth as a lost person comes to life and a new relationship with God through Jesus. The territory that God controls grows a little bit. And then the third way is when a saved person, a person who's already part of the kingdom of God, gives another section of their heart or their life to the king. You see, we have things in our life that we haven't given to the king yet, right? So God, you can have this part and this part and this part and this part, but I got this one covered here, all right? Don't worry about these. I got it, okay? Thank you. I know you're really smart. I know you're really good, but no thanks. I got these here. But the kingdom of God comes whenever we say yes, and that power and that love and that life of God comes into that part of our life, and now we're living abundant life. Again, the lie from the enemy is, you know better than God in this area. But the truth is, no, God wants to give you life in every area of your life, every part of your being, every part of you. So, several things we can learn from this. The life points. Number one, and you can write these in. The kingdom of God will come in complete physical form one day soon. Count on it. Count on it. He's coming back. He's coming back. You can be confident. You can be excited. I'm very excited because I know how the story ends. The king is coming to earth, and it's going to be soon. We don't know when, but he's coming back. The second one, the kingdom of God is here now, and it's invisible form, and it's growing, and it's moving, and it's fun to be a part of. Yes, it's a war, it's a battle, a spiritual battle, but it's coming. It's here now. It's moving forward. The kingdom of God also arrives one life, one domain of our life, one decision at a time. So tomorrow you're going to have a bunch of decisions in your life. Who's going to be the king of those decisions? Who's the king? And whenever we say, God, I give them all to you today, he's the king of our day. It's the kingdom of God living through us, all around us. Oh, so exciting. If we can just grasp this and go for it, the kingdom of God grows all around us. Let me just pray for that, and we're going to move to the second one. Father, we want your kingdom to come. And Lord, as I pray this prayer, I think about Jesus coming, and we look forward to that. I think about people who don't know you. I pray that you'll draw them to you and help them to have the courage to say, I know I'm a sinner. I trust you, Jesus. And Lord, help each one of us to surrender those parts of our lives that, Lord, that we've held on to, and let your kingdom come, your glory and your life and your abundance come into every part of our lives. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. So, let your kingdom come, a petition from Jesus. Let your kingdom come. Before we do, let your will be done. I want to do just a quick practical application. I call it a prayer practicality. So maybe some of you, you're thinking, you know what, I'm going to pray more. I'm going to do this. You know, we talked about it at church. I think it's important. So I'm going to pray more, right? And so just, we don't do enough of this. Just kind of some practical talk. Hey, if you're going to pray, here are some tips, okay? And here's one of the easiest ones. Maybe you've tried this before, but probably not best to have your deep prayer time after you're in bed, tucked in, comfortable, and ready to go to sleep, right? You can do your prayer time that way. It'll just probably be very short, right? Anybody tried this before? Raise your hand, confession time. Yes, it's easy to do. You know, oh, I forgot to pray. I'll just do it tonight when I go to bed. It's not going to happen. So yeah, I mean, we can learn just practically from that. Maybe you need to, now, I will say this. If you're an insomniac, this is a great cure, okay? It's a great cure. So if you're in bed and you can't go to sleep, just start praying, okay? So here's what happens. If the enemy is keeping you awake, do you know what he's going to do? He's going to let you go to sleep. Because he doesn't want you to pray, right? But if you're having a hard time going to sleep, instead of being upset about it and let all these crazy anxiety thoughts going through your head, just take them to God. Just talk to God about it. And you're going to end up saying, hey, thank you. I didn't need sleep. I just needed some of that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So yeah, prayer is incredible. And maybe practically, you need to find a time besides bed, unless you're an insomniac. So okay, so the next petition, the last of the three at the beginning, is your will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So again, we're asking for this to happen, which means if we're asking for it to happen, most likely it's not happening right now. Or is it? So I'll ask you the question. Is God's will being done right now? Is God's will being done? This is a participation day, right? So tell me, what do you think? Yes? Sometimes? Somewhere? Anybody going to say no? Did anybody get murdered yesterday? Was that God's will? Well, so maybe, okay. So this is another hard question, right? Is God's will being done? And so this is a long series of, okay, God's will, what's our part, what do we do, how do we know God's will, and we'll cover a little bit of it. But you have to begin to think about different ideas or different descriptions of the will of God. There's this idea of the ultimate will of God. And that is definitely happening. This is his story. He's still the king of all. And so things are marching forward in his story according to his plan perfectly. He hasn't lost control of the throttle or the steering wheel. It's his world. It's his history. Okay, so in that sense, his will ultimately is being done. But then we also have this idea of his permissive will, right? Where he allows us to do stupid stuff sometimes. We call it free will that we have. He's permitting us to have that. Anybody do stupid stuff? Yes. Okay, so he's permitting us. He says, look, I'll let you do this. Oh, thank you, right? But then we have, if we have the permissive will, then we must have also the perfect will. So there's three different kinds of wills. What? What are you talking about? So what's Jesus saying? It says, your will be done. What's Jesus talking about? Well, the great news is he gives us a nice little clue because he says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? As it is in heaven. In other words, perfectly. Everything that you want happens. So the idea is heaven, right? Select all, copy, come to earth, paste. That's what Jesus says. Just like it is in heaven, Lord, bring that to earth. Your will is done perfectly. Everyone worships you and trusts you and believes you and follows you and obeys you in heaven. May that happen here. May that happen here. And I can tell you this, when I'm in that route, in that mode of living, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So yes, we learn to pray. Your will be done here, just like there. Your will be done here very quickly. Very quickly, how can I know the will of God? If I could answer that in like one sentence, then hey, I could write a book and who knows. But right, this is a huge topic. I just want to cover a couple of things very quickly. How do you know the will of your best friend? How do you know what they want? Relationship, right? You spend time with them. My wife's birthday is coming up this week. She's really good to me in that she gives me hints. But if I'm not listening, I miss them, right? And so I'll like before we've done this, she's so kind to me. So well, I was supposed to ask her about this. I'm not supposed to use her in an illustration before I ask her. I broke that rule today. So I love you. I'm sorry. So she'll tell me. I'll say, hey, what do you want for your birthday? She said, I already told you. Right? I'm like, oh man, I got to pay attention. I got to listen to my bride a little bit more. I got to be in better relationship. I got to be in communication, right? That's where you know the will of someone. You know them. When you know them, when you're talking with them, you know what they want, right? Not a big mystery. So how do we know the will of God? We know him. We spend relationship time. We listen. We have conversation. We pray, right? So that's how you know. And another thing about the will of God, most of his will is obvious, actually. He's already told us, right? So like, for instance, he says, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, think on these things, right? And you're scrolling through Netflix, right? Lord, what's your will for which movie I should watch? He's already told you. Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it a good report? Those are the ones. If it's not, no thank you, right? I'm just being very, very practical here. All right, so we already know most of the answer to the question, what's the will of God? And so we try to make it a big mystery, right? Big question mark. We know better. And if we don't, it's because we need to press in and listen and love and spend time with him more. Another big thing, and this has been huge for us so many times through the years. You know, we're walking a path, and there's just this stop. There's just this, I don't have a peace. I can't move forward. And so that's God. He's saying, brakes, no more. Different direction, right? So that's very quickly the will of God, and we'll move on. But here's the hard part. Sometimes the will of God doesn't feel very good, right? Like in the little clip at the beginning, right? He's like, yes, the answer to prayer, the tree with the fruit, woohoo! And then what happens? The storm. The storm comes and blows the whole tree away. Not just the leaves, not just the fruit, the whole tree. He's like, wow, now I have no hope. The tree is gone. That happens in our lives. We think, okay, God, I've been following you. Things are great. Why is this difficult stuff happening to me? I've been following you. What's the deal? Let me just read a quote. This is someone who was praying a prayer one time, and see if this kind of resonates with you on this idea. It kind of describes it here. And going a little further, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Anybody know who prayed that prayer?
Jesus.
Jesus didn't want, he thought he didn't want what God had for him, what the Father had for him. But he was strong enough and smart enough to say, "I want your will more than mine. I want your will, not mine." Another story. But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." See, there's this story. There's this kingdom that he's developing, that he's growing. And sometimes it grows in difficult times. I'm not talking about kind of difficult. I mean really difficult. The other day before we got on the plane, something was weird going on with my ear. And so we went to the doctor, and he's going to check out my ear. And I don't like people to stick, you know, stuff in my face or whatever. But so he sticks the thing down in my ear, and he's looking in there. And then he says, "Oh, dude." I don't know what happened to his bedside manner for that moment, but clearly something surprised him in my ear, right? Have you ever had that moment? You know, just, your heart just kind of like stops, like, "Oh, wow. The doctor is surprised at me. That's not good," right? Because he's probably seen some things before. And we have those moments where we get that phone call from the sister or the brother or the mom or the dad, and we're like, "Oh, no, my world just got turned upside down." Or we look at that email, or we look at that text message, or something comes up and we're like, "Oh, no, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what to do." It's not easy. It's not fun. And so what we have to do in this moment is say, like Jesus, "Not my will, but your will." And we trust that he's working something bigger. And guys, listen, I know there's big things going on in your life, okay? I know there's big things. So we just say, "Lord, your will. I know you're working in a way that I can't see." A couple of life points as we're wrapping up here. I love this quote from Nancy Lee DeMoss. Nancy Lee DeMoss said, "God's will is what we would choose if we knew what God knows. If we knew everything, we would choose his route every single time. Problem is, we don't know what he knows. And so we start to get worried. If we knew what he knows, we would choose his way." The second life point here: if God is good, his will is good. This is where the enemy gets us. He whispers in our ear, "He's not for your good today. This is not good, so he must not be caring. He's not watching you. He's not covering you. He's not protecting you." But if God is good, listen, believe this. If God is good, his will is good. We can know that. We can bank on that. I told you about the guy who encouraged me to pray before we jump to him. You can fill in the blank here. So the last blank at the top of the table there, for today, we learn this. When we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," we can pray with perspective. He's working something bigger in his kingdom. And his will is way better than ours. We can know he's working for good. So back to my friend who told me about prayer. This is him, actually. His name is Dick Fisher. So this is in the early days of the church that we planted, and you know, the property had some property, and it needed to be trimmed. You know, the trimmer, he got the trimmer. So he's out there. He's 70 plus years old, and he's out there in the heat, and he's trimming, right? He's knocking these weeds down. Just Dick Fisher, great guy. A couple of months ago, he went to the doctor because he was having some strange pain in this region here. And so they did some tests, did some more tests, and you know what happens when they do more and more tests, right? They come back to Dick Fisher, and they say, I'm sorry, you've got stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And so if you know anything about the medical stuff, you know that the translation of this is, you're going to die soon. Right? Pancreatic cancer is a very difficult one. And so I'm visiting with Dick Fisher. You know, we're still there in Colorado, and thankfully I got to see him really just a few weeks ago before we flew over here. And you know, he's losing weight. He's still alive. He's losing weight, and he's looking forward to seeing his great-grandbaby that was just born a few days ago. But before we left, he was saying, you know, it's my time. It's my time. I've had a great life. I've had a chance to minister and see my children and my grandchildren, and now I'm thankful. And so what a great attitude to say, you know what? It's God's story. It's God's story. And so here's what I want to do. There's a phrase in here. Life point number 5. Maybe you caught this. I hope you did. There's actually a problem with life point number 5, right? Does anybody see the problem with life point number 5? The word if is a problem, isn't it? Because there's not a question here. There's not a question. But here's what I want you to do as an act of faith. I don't know what you're going through today. But all of you have something that you're walking through. So I want you to take out your pen, and I want you to go to life point number 5. And as an act of faith, I want you to just think to God. Whatever this is, God, I put it in your hands, and I know that you are good. And when you get to that place, scratch out the word if. Scratch it out. And know that he is good. So we can trust him. We can pray, Lord, your will be done. Even if I die in the process, okay. That means I get to go enjoy this sooner, right? Your will be done. Bring your kingdom. Bring your will. That's what I want most because I know you are a good God. Can we pray together? Father, I thank you so much that we really don't have to debate or wonder, is God really good? This has already been settled. You are good. You do love us. You've proven that so many times, but especially with Jesus. While we were the rebellion, you sent Jesus, the greatest act of love ever. So today, Lord, in each heart, may we believe that. And as we pray, may we want your kingdom in our lives completely, in the people around us fully, and in the world soon as Jesus comes back. And may we want and ask for and trust your will. In the good times, we celebrate. In the tough times, we have faith that you're working all things for good. All things. All things. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I just wonder if there's someone here today that says, you know what, I'm tired of being a part of the darkness rebellion, and I want to be a part of the light rebellion. I want to receive the forgiveness and the life that Jesus gives. You can do that today. You can trust Jesus today. Say, look, I'm turning from the old life. I'm giving it all up, and I'm surrendering. I'm going to follow Jesus. You can do that today. And I would ask that you would do that. We would love to talk with you more. Catch one of us afterward. And we want to help you in your journey following Jesus. That's our goal, all of us, to be disciples following Jesus. So, Lord, as we wrap up this time together, may you ignite in us a confidence, a peace, a joy, a hope that gives light to people around us, a love that gives light to people around us because we know whose we are and we know that all things are working forward for your kingdom toward the good and your will is being done. So let us walk in that with confidence as we go from this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand together as we continue?